saw Mrs. King getting down from the piano, and I said, am I supposed to speak? Thanks for that musical number. That's my kind of music. I like that kind when you have a real message in song. 3 weeks ago today, I stood in a pulpit like this in Michigan. And it was a day just as hot as it is today, and they had no air conditioning in the chapel. And I was glad when I walked in this morning to feel the cool air. I perspire anyway if it would be 50 degrees, but I tell you, I did my share of perspiring in Michigan. They only have about 3 hot Sundays a year, you know. It's usually cool there, but it wasn't this particular day. So I'm glad to be here in Wilmington with the air conditioning. I'm up here kind of close to the ceiling, but I think we can get along well. Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 11. John's Gospel, chapter 11, will be commenced reading at verse 1. John's Gospel, chapter 11, commencing at verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified by it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Go down to verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days, already. Now skip way down to verse 30. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then who were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she arose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping who came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people who stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a cloth. Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. And God will bless to us what we have read from his word. Shall we just have a further word of prayer? Father, we have read thy word. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. And we're thankful that we have the unabridged word of God to read. And we pray that in this hour you'll speak to us through your word in a very special way. May the name of the Lord Jesus be honored and glorified in this place. And any blessing which does accrue will give the praise to thee, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And when he came near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Luke 19:41. Jesus wept. John 11:35. You know, as I read those words, I can hardly believe what I'm reading. God in tears. The one whom the psalmist said made the world with his fingers. The one whom Paul described like this, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And then he adds, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, subsist, exist, that are held together. When I read those words, Jesus wept, it seems to me it's a paradox. I would say, if I can use this kind of language, it's the paradox of paradoxes. Jesus wept. You know, through the practice of some rather unholy things, we sometimes lose the force and message of some of the verses in the Bible. You've heard it said, and so have I. What's the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept, John 11:35, and we never think of what we say. In my late teens, I went to a camp in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and they had a practice which I hope they have stopped by now. But this is what they did. If a person left a thing out of place or lost it and someone else found it, they brought it to the director. And then the person who lost the item had to redeem it by singing a song or saying a verse. And I can see the smirk on the faces when the person wanted their item back. Jesus wept, John 11:35. And you know, in all the melee, you didn't think of what was said at all. But when you pause long enough to think that Jesus wept, these are the tears of God, the most precious tears that have ever been shed in the universe. I suppose if someone would have caught those tears and put them in an airtight bottle, and preserve them down through the centuries, that some religionist somewhere would have built a great edifice over them so people by the thousands could come and see those tears. But that wasn't God's plan at all. The Spirit of God, the author of the Word of God, is quick to describe the fact that our Lord shed tears so that we'd be aware of the fact that although he was God, yet he was God in a man's body, and he's touched with the feelings of our infirmity. No one will ever analyze the feelings of deity. It's absolutely amazing. God weeping. I can't explain it. Can you? Now, there are those who would try to explain it away. There are others who would say, well, that's just a figure of speech. But we don't explain this any more than we try to explain the intricacies of a computer to a savage in the jungle. I suppose we actually view this with the writer to the Hebrews when he said, our high priest, who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and was in all points tested like as we are, yet without sin. Now, we've read from the setting of this chapter and this story. It's the familiar story of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Now, this deceased caused Lazarus' sisters some real consternation. and also the Jews in the community that lived near them. Notice what it says in verse 35. The friends were weeping, and Jesus also wept with them. Now, it's obvious they weren't weeping for the same reason. Some weep because their sympathies are stirred, while others weep because it seems just the thing to do. And then there are others who weep whose tears are genuine, and there's others whose tears are of faith. There are tears of joy, tears of love, tears of hope, tears of anticipation, tears of disappointment. Now, when one considers this, what we have to endure, we don't have to endure physical suffering in order to weep genuine tears. It's quite possible that some one of us might be sick and dreadfully sick, and it might be inclined to weep. But we weep a great deal more as the result of our inner emotions than from our bodily hurts. Why, even a thought can cause a person to weep, and though you're not suffering an ache or a pain. My Bible says Jesus wept, and there's no indication that he had any kind of ache or pain. But here he was, God in tears. I want to look at this rather carefully this morning under three headings. The Lord Jesus wept with the sorrowing. The Lord Jesus weeps for the suffering. And the Lord Jesus wept over the sinning. One at a time then, the Lord Jesus wept with the sorrowing. Now it may sound strange, but we actually can present in our gospel message a Christ who weeps with you. Some people try to impress God, you know, with all they know and all they hear and all they say. He's not so much interested in that. He's not interested in your brilliance. But if you have a broken heart and you want someone to weep with you, he knows how to do that. The Bible says Jesus wept. Recently, I made a rather detailed study of this chapter. And I found that I was glossing over some of the items in it because I was so anxious to get to the happy ending. And that's probably the way it was with you too. But did you notice, verse 21, Martha thought the Savior arrived too late. Notice what she said. If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But really, when you read it carefully, you see the Lord's loving care. You notice his sympathy, verse 33. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. When the Lord saw Mary weeping, when the Lord saw the Jews weeping, it did something to him. Notice verse 33 again. I'm going to give it to you in another translation. When he, that is the Lord Jesus, saw the sight, he groaned in spirit and troubled himself. Now, he didn't have to do this. Here was God, and I repeat for emphasis, God in a man's body. And he could have said, oh, just leave it all to me. I'll handle the thing. I'll take care of it. And tears can be avoided altogether if you let me do the honors. But do you notice that the Lord associates himself so carefully with grieving people in their sorrow that we are told he troubled himself? Let that sink in. Psalm 31, verse 7 says, thou hast considered my trouble, thou hast known my soul in adversities. Now, most of us, when we're sorrowing, don't want anybody around. Leave me alone, we say. Get away from me. But that isn't the case here. The Lord Jesus troubled himself because he wanted to know them in adversity. Jesus wept. They were in sorrow. And he wanted to share it. Oh, friends, there's substance to his sympathy. Now, it's actually amazing how few people weep today. Some say it's a sign of weakness. For a man, it's a sign of femininity. But my Bible says Jesus wept. What shall we do for human sorrow? $25 to the United Fund. Jesus wept. What shall we do for human sorrow? $25 for food for Africa. Jesus wept. What shall we do for human sorrow? We'll pray for you, brother. Jesus wept. What do we do for human sorrow? Well, these things have to come. We all have to have our share. But Jesus wept. I'm wondering this morning if that grips you like it grips me. Oh, thank God he's sensitive to our grief. Just think of those poor, benighted people that offer an offering to an idol, hoping to get a whisper of response. But there is none. Oh, if they only knew Jesus wept. There are those who will want a glimmer of love, and they'll do anything to buy love and affection. Oh, if they only knew Jesus wept. He weeps with the sorrowing. Thank God. Secondly, the Lord Jesus weeps for the suffering. As those tears course down his cheeks, and they did. There are two significant exclamations that we want to look at. I've already alluded to one. I want to look back at it again. Notice back at verse 33. He groaned. Then let your eyes go down to verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself. You see, there's included in his sympathy and tears not only sorrow, but indignation. What happened to Lazarus? He could have prevented if he had wanted to. He could have restored Lazarus to health and strength. And that's what he was about to demonstrate. But what he saw around him was all the marks of sin. The unbelief in the hearts of the Jews. The sorrow in Mary's heart. The many graves which were all around. Oh, it's no wonder he groaned. Say, do you know that there are other things the Bible tells us that causes God to groan? I'll refer to it. You needn't turn to it. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 22, it says this, "For we know the whole creation groaneth in pain together until now." The heavenly carper never intended that that tree should be made into a casket. The heavenly sculptor never intended that those rocks should be hewn out for burial crypts. The Heavenly Father did not level the fields to make them handy cemeteries. He never did at all. It's no wonder that Jesus groaned. It's no wonder that creation groans. And over it all, Jesus wept. But I go down a little farther in Romans chapter 8 and I read a verse that we all know, and we all know it's true. But these words are hard to swallow. When we come into circumstances which are adverse, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now that's true. I have proven that in being saved over 55 years. I've proven that. But it's still hard to swallow when you have the burden of suffering because sin brings sadness. Always remember that sin causes us to groan. Sin caused the Savior to groan. Sin causes creation to groan. And over the whole thing we write, Jesus wept. He wept with the sorrowing. He weeps for the suffering. But then the Lord Jesus weeps over the sinning. Every person, and I'm glad I can tell you that today, every person is important to the Lord Jesus. He was well aware of what they said as he wept. Notice verse 36. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" You see, the Savior knew that Mary and Martha assumed he came too late, and this grieved him. I think it grieved him because they thought that because of his lateness, nothing could be done. But you see, he was weeping over their sin. And this is exactly why he wept over the city of Jerusalem. He saw their sin, and it was their sin that brought them judgment. God knew. God weeps over sinners. And because of that, I think we have an insight into His loving heart. Oh, I want you to know He loves. He cares. He cares for men and women and boys and girls. He was concerned for His ancient people, Israel, in a mighty way. But that concern was not just for a nation. It was for the whole world. And you say, prove it. I can. What's the proof? The incarnation is proof number one. The crucifixion is proof number two. The resurrection is proof number three. And in this day and age in which we live, the Holy Spirit is convicting men of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. He's carrying on His work. That's why that gospel song that your mother used to sing haunts you. That's why you refuse to go to a funeral. That's why you shut off the preacher when he starts getting to you in his message. God is weeping over you. And every time He weeps over you, the Holy Spirit falls on your heart like those hot tears fell upon the Savior's cheeks. And He weeps. He weeps. He weeps over the sinning. Now there may be an argument here. Somebody may say, I for a moment anticipate what you might be thinking. Let me suggest this. If God is so concerned about me, and if He has made salvation possible, why doesn't He ever just secure my salvation without any volition of mine? Why doesn't He just save us? Why doesn't He go ahead? After all, He spoke a world into existence. He created the sun, moon, and stars. You say that the Bible declares He went to the cross of Calvary and there obtained eternal redemption for people like you and me. Why doesn't He go ahead and just save everybody? Make it so much easier. Why doesn't He just forgive arbitrarily? Why doesn't He do those kind of things for us? Why should He weep over sinners? Why should He be concerned? Why not just give them His righteousness? I'll tell you why. I believe the words that our Lord spoke as He wept over Jerusalem give the answer. I would, and ye would not. It's all summed up in these words, because of their unbelief. Now a farmer can desire a bountiful harvest. So what does he do? He prays to God for a bountiful harvest. But God won't give him a harvest if he doesn't plow the ground, sow the seed, and care for the soil. Now we understand what God is saying. Unless the farmer meets the conditions of the harvest, there will be no produce, there will be no fruit, there will be nothing of any kind. He has to meet the conditions of the harvest. The Lord Jesus weeps over the sinning this morning. He would meet their need. He would pardon their transgressions. He would forgive their sins. He would take care of the past. He would assure us of heaven. He would do all this. He would. He can. But you would not. No wonder we read, Jesus wept. 57 years ago, I was given a little dog. He was a summer, some of this and some of that, of the terrier variety. And we named him Happy. And I liked Happy very much. One day my favorite uncle, Uncle Harold, said, come over to our house for supper tonight. We're having something special for you. And so Happy and I went with my Uncle Harold to his house. When we got to the house, we opened the door, and that dog took off for the woods that was in back of Uncle Harold's house. So this began a search. Here, Happy, Happy, Happy. Here, Happy. Come on, boy. Here, Happy. And that went on for 2 hours. And finally, it was getting sort of dark. And Uncle Harold said, we'll have to wait until tomorrow. Oh. I went in the house that night, and they had cream potatoes with gravy, and they had fresh sweet corn, my favorite. But I couldn't eat. I was a broken-hearted boy. I remember that just as vividly as though it happened yesterday. My uncle said, "We'll get another dog." But that wouldn't take the place of happy. Cheap dog, you say? Yeah, he cost us 50 cents. And that's no exaggeration. That night I went to bed and I prayed that God would bring back happy. And they said to me, "You're so brave. You didn't even cry." But I did cry. I looked up at the ceiling fixture in that bedroom and I couldn't even see it. My eyes were blurry. Happy was gone and I couldn't do a thing about it. Now my heartbreak was relatively small. And I wasn't the first or the last boy that would ever cry over a lost dog. But when I think of my grief compared with the tragedies that come in mankind's lives today, it wasn't much. And when I think of our tragedies in comparison to the heartbreak of God, it isn't much. Jesus wept for sinners. Can you get a glimpse of Him this morning? Can you? Look at the cross. A soul lost. Lost! Whatever pain your waywardness may have caused, whatever sorrow you may have brought to your parents or your spouse or your loved ones or your friends, above all others, tears, it's made the Lord Jesus to weep. He weeps over you this morning. But I can tell you something else, and it's a happy thought. The Lord Jesus desires to save you this morning. He can, and He will. Don't say you would not. Say, "I will. I will." And you will be found. You will be found. You will be found. We lived in Florida for 5.5 years and watched the tourists come down to Florida, and they come in droves. Well, if you don't want such a crowded beach, then you have to go over to the Bahamas, and that's a little better. And there they come. All kinds of them. And they're lying on the beach. You know why? They're trying to soak up a tan in the winter so they can go back to Michigan and these northern states and show off their tan to the people, show the nice sun. You've seen it, so have I. This is the true story of a man who, along with his wife, went to the Bahamas for a much-needed vacation. He was an insurance executive, 54 years old, and he decided that this would be the vacation of vacations. So he went for a physical just before he went on his trip, and he got a clean bill of health from the doctor. So one day, as he and his wife were resting on the sand, they heard a cry out in the water a little ways away from the shore, about 150 feet. A little girl had been floating on a plastic mat, but she had slipped off and was hanging on desperately for her life, and the waves were rather large. And he knew she'd never make it to the shore. So he jumped into the surf and swam out to the little girl and got hold of her and put her back on the rubber raft again and started to push her in toward shore. And then suddenly, he got a terrible pain in his chest. He gave one more push. He said to the little girl, "You'll have to make it on your own. I'm dying." The little girl was rescued. The rescuers got her. She was a little girl about age 10, and she was shaken a bit, but was unharmed. And a few minutes later, they brought in the limp form of a 54-year-old insurance man who had died in the process of rescuing a little girl. Now that man died to save one girl. I want to tell you about the Lord Jesus this morning. He died to save you. He died for the world. He did it. He did it. And that's the message of the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And he was seen. Have you ever realized that he died for you personally? That his blood was shed personally? You know, I like to go out to lunch with somebody and they pay the tab. I go for that. And they sometimes won't even let me give the tip. I don't even mind doing that. I like to get something for free. God offers salvation freely as a gift. But you have to take it to know how good it is. Have you done that? Jesus wept. He weeps with the sorrowing. He weeps for the suffering. He weeps over the sinning. Listen to me. He weeps over you. Listen to these words. They're great. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You can be found today. It's up to you. Now I got to tell you about happy. I have everybody here wondering about happy. Some little girls found him the next day. And he lived to be the oldest dog in the world. I got him when I was 6 years old and I had to have him put away when I was in college. God answered my prayer of giving my one and only dog. He lived to be very old. But that's facetiousness. And I don't want to end on that note. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Will you let him find you today? Will you? Shall we pray? While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, we would just ask the Lord to work in someone's heart. Maybe there's someone here this morning and they're still a stranger to your love and mercy. Maybe they'd like to speak to us afterward and we don't know who they are. And so while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, is there someone here this morning that would like some help, some spiritual help? You'd like to be saved today. Could I see your hand wherever it might be? We're not asking you to join this church or be a member of it. We don't want your money. We just want to help you. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Father, we commend what has been of thyself to thee and ask that thou do the working in hearts as only the blessed Holy Spirit can do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 376 in our hymnals, please. 376. Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness, and light, Jesus, I come to thee. 376, verses 1 and 4 will remain seated as we sing. Into thy freedom.
commend to thee in the word of thy grace everyone who's here. Take us to our homes in safety. Bless us in those homes. And if there's someone that needs to come to Christ today, we pray that you'll continue to probe and work in their hearts. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for giving us the message of the gospel, which is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. Part us with thy blessing then and benediction. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.